you. For our scripture reading today, we have two, one from Jeremiah 7. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly with one another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your ancestors forever and ever. Our second reading comes from Luke 4. Jesus is speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Here ends the reading. Let us pray. Still speaking God, be with us this morning as we celebrate your love and compassion and seek to find truth and light in your holy word. Amen. Happy 4th of July weekend. This is a time when we celebrate our founders who pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor in their intent to become independent from the British king. Now, I know, like me, you may have heard in school, it was all about taxation without representation. But actually, there was a lot more. Their grievances against the king were that he had obstructed the naturalization of foreigners, exercised unfair influence on judges, refused to act on laws that the Americans had legislated, refused to fill open positions, imposed unfair taxation and trade limitations, and he'd failed to deal justly with the Americans. In short, they were colonized and oppressed by a remote empire that was not interested in their concerns. Rather, the empire was very interested in what was best for the British interests. The signers of both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were taking a huge risk. They were striking out against opposition on behalf of freedom. But make no mistake, they were committing high treason. Yet, they were acting out of a powerful sense of justice denied. They were focused on liberty, justice, and fairness. In our own lives, we too understand oppression. We have been oppressed, or we have been oppressors. Maybe you were passed over for an opportunity, or earned less money than a coworker, or were unfairly edged out by competition, or told, "You don't belong in this group." In our scripture today, the prophet Jeremiah is speaking about these things when he says that we should care for each other. We should act on behalf of others, and we should think outside of our own self-interests. And today, you may be doing exactly the same, working to counter oppression. Perhaps you buy fair trade coffee or other products that help to lift small farmers out of the oppression of large corporations that fail to ensure a fair price for the farmers' goods. You may have donated food for the Olive Branch Senior Center in our monthly collection. Or you may have brought clothing or reading materials for veterans or for the New Life Center for families that are victims of domestic violence. Perhaps you have voted for a candidate that you believed would deal fairly with people in situations such as immigration or taxation or the minimum wage or health care. As Christians, We have an ancient responsibility to take action in response to God's call for liberation of all peoples from economic oppression, discrimination, slavery, poverty, illiteracy, violence, and hunger. In the Bible, we see down through the centuries, God liberated us many times and in many ways. We remember that Moses led us out of bondage in Egypt. King Cyrus released us from exile in Babylon. Daniel was liberated from the lion's den. Jesus liberated the bleeding woman from her illness. Elizabeth, Hannah, and Sarah were liberated from infertility. And Mary Magdalene was liberated from a demon that was possessing her. Scripture focuses piercingly on oppression and injustice, teaching that God wants to be reconciled with all people to fully liberate them. But liberation is only half the story. In order to achieve liberation for all peoples and to sustain it, we need to establish interdependence. We need to work together in harmony for mutual goals of justice and fairness. Liberation theologian author Ron Rhodes writes, "Salvation is not primarily in terms of life after death for the individual, but in terms of bringing about the kingdom of God, a new social order where there will be equality for all." He adds, "As we are moving into the new order, then we must strive against everything that denies that order. And everything includes the whole of creation." Liberation theologian and author George Stewart writes, "To be in worship with God, it is important to be careful caretakers of the planet and to see that the earth's bounty is distributed equally so that no one suffers or dies for lack of provision. We are co-creators with God in the whole of creation." Stewart writes that as God's children, we are expected to take action. She says, "God gave life. He liberated the universe from chaos. And when bondage or chaos enters the life of any person in any form, be it oppression or starvation or slavery, God liberates, usually through the action of people." Now, in the United Church of Christ, we have been committed to working together for liberation and social justice ever since our earliest days when we fled from England to Holland in order to worship in our own way in peace. The list of actions on behalf of liberation and social justice for all peoples is long and colorful. It's also filled with risk-taking and facing of significant opposition. Now, last week, when I was in Cleveland for General Synod, which is the international gathering of our denomination, I was given this button to wear. It characterizes our UCC history for social justice in a single sentence. It says, "We're not radical, we're just early." Here is a sampling of our legacy of social justice and early actions. In the year 1646, we published the first Bible in the New World, printed in the Algonquin language for Native Americans. In 1700, we took a first stand against slavery when Reverend Samuel Sewell wrote the first anti-slavery pamphlet in America. In 1785, we ordained Lemuel Haynes, the first African-American man ordained by a Protestant denomination. We are early. In 1817, Congregational preacher Thomas Gaudet introduced sign language in America and founded the American School for the Deaf in Connecticut. In 1839, enslaved Africans broke their chains and seized control of the schooner Amistad just off the coast of Long Island, New York. Their freedom was short-lived, and they were held in a Connecticut jail while the ship's owners sued to have them returned as property. Congregationalists and other Christians organized a campaign to free the captives. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled the captives were not property, and the Africans regained their freedom. In 1853, we ordained Antoinette Brown, the first woman since New Testament times ordained as a Christian minister. Woohoo! Thank you, Antoinette. During the years 1862 to 1877, we started 6 colleges and universities for African Americans in the South. These schools are still offering higher education today. In 1952, when television stations in some states imposed a news blackout on the growing civil rights movement in the UCC intervened. As a result, the FCC ruled that the airwaves are public, not private property. The UCC ordained the first openly gay person in a mainline Protestant denomination in 1972. In 1973, we stood with the Wilmington 10. Those were 10 civil rights activists who were charged with arson of a white-owned grocery store in Wilmington, North Carolina. Convinced that the charges were false, UCC General Synod raised more than $1 million to pay for bail. The leader of the 10 spent 4.5 years in prison, but was freed when his conviction was overturned. The UCC recovered the bail, incidentally, with interest. We were instrumental in creating the Americans with Disabilities Act in 1977. One of our pastors here in the Phoenix area, Reverend Dr. Dosha Carlson, was a leader in that fight. She had polio when she was in high school, and she's been disabled ever since. She's a powerful woman. On January 4th, 2005, General Synod overwhelmingly passed a resolution supporting same-gender marriage, 2005. In 2012, we voted to work constructively together to reduce our dependency on non-renewable energy sources. And in Cleveland this last week, we became the latest church to call for divestment and boycott of companies that profit from and are complicit in the Israeli human rights violation and the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. The United Church of Christ has not retreated from the risks of witness to social and economic justice. Such is, after all, who we are. And what Jesus calls us to do. And so, as we celebrate our nation's liberation from the tyranny of an oppressive empire, we take time to soberly reflect on our ongoing challenge as Christians. After all, as Tony sang, we may be number 15 in someone's life. As Jesus told us, the greatest commandment is to love our neighbor, love God, and to love ourselves, and then to take action in the name of that love. May it be so. Amen.